Adam Pengilly, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Happy Friday, boys. It feels like you've been on the couch, you know. Bit of a session on the couch with Laurie.
Yeah, I think I'm going to grill him after seven. I'm a bit worried about him this morning.
I wish I had something to give.
No, no, there's something there. You need to express yourself this morning. And I think the best way to do that is express yourself to our listeners.
Imagine having Loz as your counsellor.
I need to get deeper with you this morning.
Oh, we're not going deep.
I've struck a nerve.
I feel like we're just scratching the surface.
That's exactly right. You want to tell us about something, but you're not confident to tell us. So I'll get that out of you after 7 o'clock. All right?
Sure.
Rightio.
Go for it. We're due to see some stars return in the barrier trials today, Adam. So bring it on. Spring's in the air just about.
Yeah, we can just about smell it, can't we, Jared? I know we're in the middle of the winter, but I think at this time of year, sometimes the trials probably hold a little bit more interest, some of the race programs, to be fair. So today we've got a few horses entered to trial at Rose Hill that will bring some star power back to the trials, obviously for Seeker, for Joe Pride. Colding for Chris Wallace, due to have his first trial a little bit later today. I think Montefilia for David Payne as well, Hightail for the Snowden. So we're just starting to see some of these better horses ramping up their preparations heading towards the spring. Before you know it, we'll be in the first week of August, have the Missile Stakes and all those sort of group and listed races just starting to kick off in early August. So thankfully, we're starting to get some of the better horses back. It's been a bit of a grind, hasn't it, the last few weeks through winter. And we'll before you know it, some of these bigger races will be around the corner.
We know that lockdown in Melbourne started at midnight last night, but there's a bit of a scare in one of the training camps down there, isn't
it? Yeah, Matt Ellerton and Simon Zara, Laurie, it's... tell you what, you have these COVID complications all the time. They had a stable employee who went to a gym which was later designated a COVID exposure site. So they've been put in 14 days isolation, having multiple tests, obviously. The Ellerton and Zara stable had to work their horses separate to everyone else at Flemington there yesterday. There's still a decision to be made on where their horses can race this weekend. But unfortunately, this is the world we live in. We have these issues all the time. I think the racing officials, for the best part of 18 months now, have been really proactive on the front foot in both Sydney and Melbourne to deal with these sort of issues. So let's hope they can get their stable stars to race there on the weekend. But again, just another complication of the COVID world we live in at the moment.
Michael Rodd's back in the saddle?
Yeah, that's right, Jared. He's been missing for the best part of 2 months now. Pretty much missed the entire Queensland Winter Carnival, to be fair. Sort of came down with a bit of an ear infection apparently a couple of months ago, and his condition sort of worsened pretty quickly, and he's seen some specialists, and they basically said his body just was not reacting to any issues. So his immune system was just so run down after years and years of wasting and pushing his body to the limit. So he had to take a fairly extended time from the stable. He even checked himself into a health retreat, I think I read somewhere, to try and get his mind and body in a better place. So thankfully he'll be starting track work again in the next week or two, and then hopefully return to the saddle in race riding not too soon after that. I think Michael's made a really good fist of his return to Australia from Singapore up there in Queensland, obviously returning to a state that he spent a lot of time in as a younger rider. So hopefully he'll be back A-OK, tip-top and healthy, and find some more winners heading towards the second half of the year.
Can you find me a winner tomorrow at Randwick?
Yeah, Laurie, I've got one best bet on the program, race 3, number 5, Kinlock. I thought he was a pretty sneaky good run there last start up along the inside at Rose Hill Gardens in that Big Easy race. So I'm pretty happy to say it's going to be a strong form race moving forward. I thought his run before that in the Kensington race was really good, beating 6 Gun. I think he's been going really well this campaign. A little bit worried about the gate, but I suppose that's offset by the booking of James McDonald. So race 3, number 5, Kinlock's been my best on the program on an each-way basis.
$7 the win, $2.50 the place. And Loz's multi, it is open under sport and today. Offers on the Tab app, the Tab website. It is paying $15 and he's done Oscar Zulu to win, Adam, and Irish Angel in the last to place.
Zulu is absolutely flying, Jared, so no complaints there. I think he's found a really suitable race again in that benchmark 88 over 1400 metres. That last race of the day with Irish Angel, she's a legitimate place chance. Geez, it's a wide open race, that last one. It's a tough way to end the day and a tough way to end the quaddy. I actually thought Best Stone, maybe fresh first up, have something very small on her. I love the trial. She's a horse that can get through the wet conditions, maybe a bit short of her best trip, but in a really open race, I had something very small on her on an each-way basis. But I'm not arguing against Irish Angel. She'll be in the finish there somewhere. And I'm still trying to get my head around how Dicko did you a favour last week, Laurie.
I couldn't believe it. He might have been on the drink, old Dicko.
Yeah.
I got him on Thursday when he gave us a decent price, or a very, very good price, and then on Saturday, when he refunded the money, I thought, how good.
My mail is behind closed doors. You rang him up and gave him a spray.
I'll tell you, he's getting popular now because he got a mention on the Matty John show last night too. The great man.
He'll have an agent next.
Oh, he might. He'll have someone representing him. 2 days after State of Origin 3, Adam, what's been the wash-up from it, mate?
Yeah, not a whole lot, Laurie, to be honest. I think we've moved on now, haven't we? Quickly, to be fair. We're just trying to get this competition away. What terrible news last night about the families not being able to go up to Queensland on Saturday. That's going to be a massive issue the next 24, 48 hours for the NRL and the Queensland government. I think a lot of players were hoping their families would go on this charter flight on Saturday up there and serve their 2 weeks quarantine, then join the players in the bubble a couple of weeks after arriving in Queensland. But unfortunately, the Queensland government wants some more details. So I don't know how this is going to play out. I'm sure there's a lot of frustrated and angry players. I think a lot of them wanted to go contingent on the fact their families are able to join them as quickly as possible. So it's going to be very much a watch this space, I reckon, for the next few days, boys.
I saw your article about Brendan Wakeham. At the Dogs, he's been left out of that squad to travel. Can we read anything into that?
Yeah, Laurie, he was starting half, wasn't he? In that Parramatta game before him and a few of those guys went out to that Bondi pub, sort of breaching COVID directives. And it's been a pretty spectacular fall from grace. So there's five players fronted the Bulldogs board on Tuesday night. They're all fined an undisclosed amount by the club on top of the fines they caught from the NRL. But just making a few inquiries yesterday, Trent Barrett actually said to him, no, you're not coming to Queensland with us. You're staying in Sydney. So there's been a few players who are in a similar boat. I think Joey Leilua hasn't travelled with the Tigers, so it's probably fair to say he's played his last game for the Tigers. Aaron Woods will join the Sharks a little bit later this week, having stayed back for the birth of his second child. So it's been funny in some sort of way, hasn't it? It's showed where a lot of players sort of sit in the pecking order, guys who have been left out of this Apollo register or the biosecurity bubble to travel to Queensland and stayed in Sydney. And Brendan Wakeham was definitely one of those, which I think certainly cast doubt over, I suppose, his immediate future of the Bulldogs and maybe his long-term future as well.
Yeah, just say with a guy like Aaron Wood staying back, does that mean when he goes up and joins the bubble that he has to stand down for 2 weeks, or does he go straight back in and continue to play?
I think he's got approval, Laurie, to play this week. So I think they've made some sort of arrangements, Cronulla, with the NRL biosecurity guys to allow him to rejoin the bubble straight away. So he'll obviously have to get up to Queensland in some way that appeases them. It won't be a commercial flight and mixing with other people from the general public.
He might have to drive or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Potentially. So, but he's definitely been named to play this week. And I think the general feeling was yesterday he'll be allowed to play once he joins his teammates this weekend. But he's doing amazing. He stays back for the birth of his second child and basically the next day says, I've got to go. I've got to rejoin my teammates and do my job. So I feel desperately sorry for his wife. And he's not the only person in this situation. There's a lot of guys who are expecting babies in the next few weeks. I think Dallin Martini's a Lesniak has gone up with the Warriors and he's going to miss the birth of his third child, I think. So I tell you what, there's a lot of people making a lot of sacrifices to keep this competition going at the moment.
Have a good weekend, mate. Thank you.
See you, boys.